I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fourth and three. Cowboys used the timeout. Cousins with a change in something. Blitz. Throw to the right side. And the coverage was broken. And Mooney caught it at the 15. And literally strolls into the end zone for a 36-yard touchdown.
That made it 14-3 in the second quarter. Good morning, Metroplex. Cowboys end up losing their third straight 27-21 in Atlanta. It's Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt with you. It's the seventh time since Jerry bought the team in 1989 that they've been 3-5. And only once before, ignited by a big deal, trade deadline tomorrow, did they rebound to make the postseason. And Richie Witt points out that this week, season ticket holders were mailed invoices for possible playoff games.
Oh, well.
I'll keep that in mind. Bobby, what did you ask yesterday? Who's going to be the first one to drop 2018? We've done it before.
Yeah. Who's going to be the first to say, well, we're 3-5 in 2018, too? Because they keep throwing out 2018 as their reference point. And 3-5 is where it has to stop. Because 3-5 is where they turned it around and they started winning games. So if you get past 3-5, you have lost your fallback on 2018.
By the way, you don't think changes can be made right now. Today, the Raiders fired their offensive coordinator along with two others. Because, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah,
exactly.
That'll fix it.
Let's hear from the Tolos. We have the phone lines open. DNM Leasing Hotline at 877-881-1053. And PayPay, we have a couple messages that have been left on the Odyssey app.
Yes, we do. First off, we have Jason and Faye. He's hot. He's saying here that he is tired of this team, and he's basically turning them off.
I can go all the way back to 1989 when this Cowboys team went 1-15 and beat the Washington Redskins 13-3 or whatever it was. I watched every play, every minute of every game that season because that's how passionate I was about the Dallas Cowboys. Yesterday marked the second time in 3 weeks that I turned the game off after the Cowboys fell behind. That's how apathetic I am about this team, and I guarantee you I'm not the only fan that feels this way. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you'd have told me I'd have been turning Cowboy games off because they fell behind, I would have told you that you were crazy. But that's just how I feel. I'm just numb right now.
Man, I love the intensity there.
Mm.
And you will see this more and more. You are seeing it on social media. I'm not turning it on. I'm bailing. And that is what we think Jerry Jones is most afraid of. Who else we got?
Yeah, next one, Sean, we have Skyler in Godly, Texas, giving his thoughts on the Cowboys' 27-21 loss to the Falcons.
We seem to get with the program that this year is just going to be a scratch. We're not going to be able to go to the playoffs. No 12-5 season. Mike McCarthy's last year. And we're going to have to get a new coach, offensive scheme, try to have a great draft in order to rebuild this thing, because how do you fumble a 12-5 team last year playing like a 3-5 team this year?
Yeah, that realization did set in. That's why, I mean, Bobby said it earlier, they have had a lot of injuries, but because of their attitude, I think RJ Ochoa has also done a nice job of phrasing a lot of this from Blogging the Boys, with their attitude and their arrogance and the way that they went about it, telling us, basically, you don't understand the way that we're doing things. You just don't get it. I don't understand why you're so negative. My theory is that is why the fan base has not been willing to give a usual pass that you would when Deron Bland, your second best or best corner, is out. Micah Parsons, all world. Your quarterback is now hurt. Your wide receiver is compromised. Marshawn Nealon, depth issues. We'd be like, hey, man, this is a hurt football team. What do you want them to do? No one cares. No one cares. because they want to see Jerry Jones get his. They want to see Stephen Jones get his. That's the reality. That's the truth. We are not willing to give any passes because of your attitude and because of the past 30 years. That's why I think the unfair judgment, no one gives a crap about it.
Well, they don't care. It is real. I mean, you have to be fair about that. It is real.
It is real.
But, you know, people are just tired of it.
It also hurt them that everyone was there except for Bland with a couple of games where they got worked. Like, the right. Saints winning, like losing like this makes the Cowboys look even worse.
Way worse.
With seven straight, they lost to Carolina. Yeah,
way worse. And, you know, and
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry. And the Saints had injuries, too, you know, but like since that game. But it doesn't matter.
Baltimore was 0-2.
And Baltimore was 0-2.
Like, the way they lost and when they lost just made it so much worse for Jerry and Steven.
And you have to look, and you know, the fact that a lot of these injuries are cluster injuries where you had Tank and Micah, so you're losing both ends. I mean, Detroit had the biggest loss of any team so far this year from a non-quarterback perspective. They haven't skipped a beat. They haven't skipped a beat since they lost Hutchinson. Like, you got to overcome injuries.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Kansas City, Rice went down. They got to overcome injuries.
All right, let's get to the Tolos on the D&M Leasing Hotline to hit us up here on a Cowboys Monday. Fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. B-Dub in Louisville, start us off, B. Go ahead.
Hey, who do we blame here, boys? Do we blame Robert Barrett and Jerry, who took the summer off and blames y'all for his fault? Do we blame Mr. 60 Dak, whose only highlight this year has been getting engaged? Do we blame the O-line, who's got more holes than Swiss cheese? One star seems to be a rating this year, boys. Who do we blame?
I mean, D, all of the above, yeah. E, all of the
above. Yeah, I mean, it's everybody, but the lead on this has to be, it's your
$60 million.
Everything honestly comes back to your front office decision makers, because they decided to approach things financially the way they did. They decided to retain Mike McCarthy. They decided to, all of these decisions that have blown up in their face were all made by them. So cumulatively, they all catch that.
They didn't do anything. I mean, the offseason was bad. They lost a lot of guys. Now, is it one of those off seasons that every NFL team has to have where you got to have a financial reset? Problem is, they didn't really even financially reset the team. It's not like they're going to go into next year with $65 million of cap space.
Yeah, they paid out two max deals.
Right? They didn't financially reset.
And they've done also a terrible, terrible job of explaining it to everyone.
Right. They've taken like, the approach that it doesn't matter. Look, you don't need to know.
Behind the curtain, they have had major, major talks and discussions on how to explain it to people, the media, to fans. They've done a terrible communication job of relaying it, in my opinion. The salary cap thing is a really, really difficult thing to get. To me, I'm not Kevin Hagelin. I'm not Bobby Belt. I'm an idiot with it. I don't get it. It's really confusing. Let me put it like that. That's why we have Nick Eatman on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. All right, so next year, like, they can't really spend a lot. I wish they would just come out and say it. But instead, they keep selling it as a win-now possibility, and it makes them sound crazy, delusional, and not honest. Like, just come out and say it. We misevaluated Derrick Henry. We didn't want to sign a 30-year-old running back. He's proving us wrong. Just be honest about it. Just say it. Look at what Trayvon Diggs did with his apology. That got Diggs so much positive PR. But Jerry, he's incapable of it. Matt in Fort Worth. Matt, you're live on Sean, RJ, and Bobby.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I just think this team, it's not that they're not good. I think this team is just dumb. So Brad Sham, love Brad Sham, yesterday in the post-game show. And again, I don't know why I was listening to it. Maybe I'm dumb too. But he said this team was in it, but this team was never in it. 14-3, they weren't in it.
No.
27-13, they weren't in it. And this team's dumb, and I'm going to tell you why. Dax Hawk start, tempo. What happened to it?
Yes.
Then they started running the ball. Penalties. Every time they get some a good play, it'd be a penalty. The jet sweep to CD. It's 4th-and-1. Why are we running that? Because our 4th-and-1 guy who we brought in can't behave himself. Dak's long run. The longest run, by the way, of any player in the entire season on your football team gets called. The next play, you get a penalty.
Yep.
Rico's touchdown catch. I mean, that looked like it was a juggling act. Where's the circus music? The timeouts for the field goal. You didn't have any left because you guys can't get lined up right, or you took timeouts for dumb reasons.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, the fake punt. I don't want anger throwing the ball to C.D. Godwin. Like, what's going on? Here, fourth and one. How about we rush up to the line and snap the ball? But we got Cooks out here who gets blamed for it, but maybe play him a little bit and he'll get a little more familiar. 12 in the huddle. Oh, man, that just was a killer. And what are all these things in common? All these things happen on offense. You got half of your defense missing.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Matt. It's a clown show. That's what it is. It looks like, it feels like an unprepared clown show. Michael in California listening on the Odyssey app at 5:10 with the early wake up for Mike. You're live on Sean and RJ. Michael, go ahead.
Good morning, Bobby. Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just want to give a huge start up to you guys because I'm going to keep it 100, man. I'm checked out, man. This is ridiculous. This is garbage. But every morning I love waking up listening to you guys over here at the Fan. I love the positivity, the content you put, man. I'd be driving my truck. I'm a truck driver. I'm up at all hours, man. I'd be right here driving, listening, and laughing, man. You guys keep me going.
Thank you.
But I just want to say that I think it's a ridiculous idea that Jerry Jones thinks that we could be buyers at the trade deadline and it's going to fix everything. I think he's delusional, like Mr. 43 in the White House. Mr. 46 in the White House. I sounded delusional. But anyways, I think we should be sellers. And I think Micah Parsons needs to go. And I hate to say it, but De'Ron Bland also, because we're not going to be able to re-sign him. I think we might as well get something for him. And I think De'Ron Bland is a good player. But like I said, he's not coming back. So we should just at least get something for him. But once again, thank you guys very much. God bless you all, and God bless America. Let's go.
Thank you for the kind words, Mike. You know, I hope Jerry Jones heard that. People are sticking around this season because of us, just to tune in to hear us make fun of them and live through the misery, the pain, and have all the jokes and the comedy.
Misery loves company.
Exactly.
And you got to find it.
All right, 877-881-1053, Andreas in Dallas. Dre, you are next up here on Sean and RJ. Andreas, excuse me.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say, let's fire Mike McCarthy, bring in a real offensive play caller that Dak's truly never had. Have the Cowboys be ahead of the game in the offensive play scheme instead of always relying on old-school tactics that have not been working for us. Since Dak's gotten the league, it seems like, from Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, I think he's an up-and-coming. He just needs some more time. And that's all I have. Thank you, guys.
We're going to see. Bobby is already projecting. Are we getting a Dan Campbell 2.0 with Kellen Moore this weekend in Arlington? What is Kellen cooking up in the bag of tricks to try to embarrass Mike and try to embarrass the Cowboys?
Yeah, because that was an ugly divorce. As much as they all talk about, like, yeah, we love Kellen, everything, that was...
Kellen Moore ran up and down gleefully with Nick Sirianni yesterday. I tweeted out the video. I never saw that with Mike here. And Sirianni's a douchebag. And he's running up and down, patty cake on the rear end and all that stuff. And I want to see how many trick plays they go into the bag for, like the Lions did. 877-881-1053. Derek in Lakewood. Derek, in a part of town I wish I could afford. You're live here on Sean and RJ. Go ahead, bro.
Actually, it's Eric, E-R-I-K. It's cool, though.
Well, I called you Rich, so it's fine. Come on, Peyton.
Way to go.
Shout out to Matt. He's the only one that makes sense for the most part on these Cowboys fans. I'm a Cowboys fan myself. This is kind of a question to the person in that studio that watches the most football. Man. I know it's not Bobby because he's still a fan of Dookie Dak. You know, I'm just your average fan, right? Die Hard since 92. I knew it was a bad idea to hire McCarthy. I knew it was a bad idea to renew Dookie Dak's contract, not once, but especially the second time. My fear is that, I don't know, we might actually get a win or two with Cooper Rush, because you know what? He may not be overall better quarterback than Dak. I think he makes some better throws. He has a little better ability with the arm. And I'm Team Tank this year, baby. I'm Team Tank. I want McCarthy, butter biscuit eating ass out. I want Dookie Dak out. It's not going to happen. Jerry Jones out. What do y'all think? I think we actually, you know, Cooper Rush has some better qualities that might give us a better opportunity to win. I think he showed in a couple of throws.
Thanks for the call, E. There were a couple of throws there from Rush, and we're going to get into what he did last time. He had that string of wins all week long. We have that before, filthy. But was it Turpin who should have caught that ball? He had the two passes, Turpin, Lamb. One of them was a tough play. But, man, Greg Olsen, he was on Turpin yesterday, which caused Kavante to lash out a little bit. And we also have to talk about what Dak Prescott was caught on video saying and whether you have a really big problem with it or not. The commercial-free expressway with more calls, Odyssey app messages, and texts from the Tolos on a Cowboys Monday with Sean and RJ after this.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the 6, handoff Algier coming to the right side, plowing to the 2, to the 1, to the goal line, touchdown.
Brad Sham with the call right here on 105.3 The Fan, home of Jerry Jones tomorrow, live at 8:30. That touchdown made it 27-13, but the Cowboys still end up losing in Atlanta. We got to talk about some player reactions to the loss, in-game and afterwards. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. I'm Sean Shreve alongside Ralph James Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. The Dak video. I want to give props to Tolo David Olson, and my wife is always cool with how much time I spend on work, or I don't know if she's like cool with it, but she's very understanding. And part of the reason I want to interact with Tolo so much as often as possible and try to answer every single DM and message is because of David Olson. He sent me the Dak cursing video. And I was like, yo, man, your account's locked. Just tweet it. I'll retweet it. I can't retweet it with your account locked. He's like, no, all good. I want you to have it. Thanks for interacting. So I went back to the time and place in the game, and I got Dak saying what looks to be, we effing suck, and right now it has 1.1 million views. The thing obviously blew up and went crazy. Do we have a problem with this? Do we have any issue with this? Dak Prescott on the sideline, or Bobby, are you challenging this and thinking this is not what he actually said? As amateur lip readers,
I'm not challenging it quite. There was a challenge presented by Awful Announcing. They had they picked this up and they said, "Is he saying we bleeping suck, or is he saying these refs suck, or refs bleeping suck?" Now, I thought no way the first couple times I watched it, but then I was watching over and over and over again, and you know how after you watch like 20 times in a row, you start saying, maybe I am seeing that a little bit. Right. Maybe I am seeing Waldo. Maybe I am seeing the magic.
Yanni.
Guy. Yeah. And
Yanni
so
and Laurel.
I started tricking myself a little bit, I think. I'm settled, I think, on it is we bleep and suck. But I was like 60-40 last night. Now I'm more like 80-20. I'm back. I'm clear-headed again. But I'd watched it 15 times in a row and started getting there. But there are some people who are suggesting he might be saying refs bleeping suck, which I imagine will be the out that Dak takes this week. Will be Anas talking about the officials.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That'll get him fined.
He'll own it. He'll own it and say, look, I'm frustrated. And he may not even talk while undergoing the MRIs. Mm. Who knows? Look.
I thought it was easy. Clear.
I agree. What do you think?
That it's clear. Like, or
of him saying it.
Self-awareness. I don't have a problem with it. I do think that it's the worst thing that McCarthy could hear, because like the moment that the players think the team stinks and the leader thinks the team does, that's the moment where you start to you're in CY. The players are in CY. They start playing selfish if they already weren't. You know, you're not gonna take team at bats. You're not gonna move the runner over. You know, you're gonna play. You're gonna worry about your stats. You know, you're gonna start doing stuff like that. It's a bad sign. That's a very bad moment for a player. You get the little things stop being important the moment you realize we ain't going anywhere. If Dak thinks they stink, that means the rank and file are gonna think that they stink, and that means they're gonna stop worrying about the little things, which showed up yesterday with 7 of the 9 offensive penalties were pre-snap. those are the little things that you stop worrying about when you know it's done.
I have absolutely no problem with him saying it. Is it unfortunate he got caught on camera? Yeah, but you know, you gotta have discussions with your teammates. I'm not gonna sit there and say you gotta act like the camera's on you 24/7. Don't say anything like this. You're talking, you're watching, you're observing. I got a tweet here from Frankie Kenneth. Oh my Lord, how can any self-proclaimed leader of a locker room, money-grabbing, overpriced human ever stoop this low? Cowboys should file a grievance with the league to null and void that extension. This is despicable behavior, and we need to root it out. I'd rather hear Dak Prescott admit reality and the truth than Jerry Jones keep telling me they have a chance to achieve their goals. Which one would you rather be told, y'all? For real. Separate what you think about Dak as a franchise quarterback and whether he can win the Super Bowl. This is really no different from the famous Tom Brady Belichick clip standing on the sidelines against New Orleans. They're both saying the same thing. They're both saying we suck right now. What's wrong with that? What's the problem? I'd rather them go into the locker room versus Dak saying, go ahead, jump off. Do you have that clip, Peyton? Did you go ahead and find that? After I tweeted out this video, people made fun of Dak, which I think is funny, saying, man, that's a long way. It's a long way from you saying this back in the day. Do you have it, Peyton? All right, play it. All right, fantastic audio that is.
Jump off if you want,
jump
please.
Jump off if you want, please. Jump off if you want. So that makes Dak look foolish, but he's just saying the truth. They do effing suck, and we've known they were going to effing stink, and that they do blanking stink. I'd much rather be told that than Jerry coming on here and saying, well, we got the players and the coaches, I believe. I believe in the players and the coaches. I don't have a problem with it.
No, there's no issue because they do.
It's a little unfortunate for him that it got caught on camera, or it may not be unfortunate, so we can all just stop. For anyone left, for anyone left pretending, and there's very, very few, for anyone in the locker room, I'll say in Frisco. For anyone in Frisco left pretending, maybe this could just go ahead and erase all doubt.
Yeah, I don't think it's unfortunate for him at all. I think it's people complain all the time that he doesn't show enough emotion and he's too robotic. He had a moment where he just looked at it and was like, yeah, we suck. Because they do. They're bad. Yep. They're a bad football team. They are one of the 10 worst teams generously in the NFL right now. If you look at their splits on EPA per play and on defense and offense, which is an efficiency metric, they're the worst defense in the NFL. They are the 10th worst offense in the NFL. That's what they're putting out there every week, and it's bad. And I think the it's a good moment to see he clearly sees it for what it is. And that's why you always got to understand Dak's a politician. Dak's going to talk a certain way. That doesn't mean you're getting the same thing. There was one moment yesterday where he slipped in a way he doesn't normally, where he got onto Zach Martin really bad after it was either a pre-snap penalty, I think it was delay a game or something had occurred, and he was barking at somebody. And he doesn't usually do that publicly. Dak's whole philosophy is Dak will hold guys accountable. Dak will get in guys' ears. Dak will bark at people. He doesn't view it as productive to do it in front of the media or to do it in front of he thinks that's in-house, that's family stuff. I don't need to put that out there. You don't need to know all my dirty laundry. You don't need to know how I'm holding my guys accountable. But yesterday he did it a little bit. There's been a handful of times he's done it. I remember he did it Tampa, the opener a couple years ago in Tampa, where he pulled Tyler Biadasz to him and started to, and then he quickly like caught himself like, oh crap, and kind of dropped it. I think you're just, when you start seeing those cracks a little bit, where he's snapping at Zach Martin on the field, and then he's just a little more leisurely saying, we suck, and allowing the cameras to catch that, I think that shows just how down everybody's guard is right now and what they feel about this team.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think that's part of the problem that, and I don't think calling people out publicly does any good. I know fans love to hear, I don't think it does any good, but every quarterback gets on the offensive line or on other offensive players when there is pre-snap penalties. They all do it. You have to do it. Like, you know, and you know, that doesn't mean that the quarterback's always right, right? They're not always right with what they're doing, but this is part of being a leader, is that you've got to do those kind of things.
Kevontae Turpin tweeted, then quickly took this down. Thanks to the Tolos for bringing this to my attention. Turpin, please keep my name out y'all's mouths, reporters and all. And I was like, oh, that'll fix it. That'll fix it, Cavante. He needs to tweet that to Greg Olson. Greg Olson was going at Turpin yesterday for stepping out of bounds, for not making a catch, for being tired, for being fatigued. And people were getting on Cavante, I think, for one of those Cooper Rush deep balls. So that is Turpin being very frustrated.
Why is Turpin the go-to on fourth down every play, every week? It always seems like they're gonna throw one up to Turpin on fourth down. It's like, he's 5'2".
Well, I think it's a microcosm.
Yeah.
Was it Greg Olson or was it the repeat offender? Was it Mike Leslie tweeting yesterday?
Uh-oh.
Cavante Turpin, terrific return man. He's not an NFL wide receiver.
Oh!
I don't know. It's possible. We already know they catch the.
What is that based off of? Off the end zone. I mean, based off these nuts. It's also, I guess, the pass down the left sideline the week prior. I think those were tough catches.
Sure, he's small. Like, he's got natural limitations. But I would say that there's probably a tendency because that got a lot of traction. That tweet from Mike Leslie. I'm sure he got tagged in it a couple times. Cavante Turpin, and I'm sure Turpin went, I know who this is. We just talked about this guy last week. And so that's the, just so you guys know, when Diggs snaps, which he shouldn't have, this is kind of a pattern, I would say, that exists for players they feel like and that specific reporter.
What is up? By the way, how the Tolos reacting to the Dak video? Understandable or can't do that? Bad leadership or real leadership? 877-881-1053. What are you owing to?
From the 906, Dak is 25th in QBR. He should be telling no one nothing. I don't think that matters. I don't think
they all stink.
They all stink. Yeah, where you are, whether you're having a bad year or not, like the quarterback still has a job. Like that's part of the gig.
And he didn't say they bleeping suck. Right. He said we like that because they all do. Right now they do. This is the worst year of Dak's career. This is an awful coaching job by Mike McCarthy. The offensive line isn't very good. The defense hasn't been very good. Everybody's been bad. They are all bad. And so we bleeping suck is a great encapsulation of this team right now. That's the thing I tweeted yesterday. We got to stop trying to figure out what's wrong or spend time figuring out what's wrong. There's nothing wrong other than they're bad. Like this is just, they're bad. There's no fix. There's not a, well, what are we missing here? You're missing nothing. This is a bad football team. And it sucks for them. Their window's closed. I'm sorry. It's time to renovate. And they're going to have to make some changes. And that better not start with a trade on Tuesday.
Dak Prescott on what it's going to take to get this thing turned around.
Obviously, as I said, for me to be able to heal fast, as I said, I think CD's just banged up. Nothing serious there. Other guys getting back, being healthy. And some games that are all within in front of us. A lot of division games start next week, right? Our second one of the year. Sometimes this league, it just takes one. It takes one to get it going, to get that confidence back, to feel good and rally from there. So not looking too far ahead. It's about getting our bodies back and healthy tomorrow and then trying everything in our power to put our best performance next week at home.
Okay, that's enough. Philly team. That's enough. I want RJ Choppy's Starcastic. Star Ups, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL. After I give a quick shout out, my girl Lupita, she was playing for Good Shepherd Catholic Volleyball. They did not get their win to go to the playoffs, but she'd been grinding, working hard. She was disappointed throughout the weekend and don't need to be. So all the local school shout outs, hit us up. Bobby Belt will be probably at your next practice in order to cheer you
I'm
up.
There.
All right, Chop.
All right.
Make listen. Us, cheer us up. All right, Lupita needs cheering up.
All right, listen here. Star up to Mike McCarthy for throwing that tablet on 4th-and-1. All right. That was on the butchered end around by CD. Now, listen, we all know how frustrating the new iOS updates can be. Okay. And he's just helping us out. Okay. He's trying to he was telling Apple in front of thousands and millions and billions of people worldwide and Microsoft, because I think that's the Microsoft tablet. He was just telling people, your tablets suck. He's helping us out. I guarantee you we're going to have a new update coming up very, very soon. Just you wait and see, folks. Just because of Mike McCarthy. And then the other one. Star up. I know everyone's down on the fake punt. There was an underlying thing they were trying to accomplish there.
Uh-oh.
First of all, Dak hadn't thrown the ball that far downfield. They wanted to see if they could actually throw the ball that far downfield in this game. They weren't sure if the ball was too heavy, if it wasn't traveling well. And also, I don't think they wanted to hurt Dak's QBR because they knew that they were going to use, he was going to throw a pick. They were using anger as the guinea pig. That was a long play. That was a long play for later on in the game for when they finally put Cooper Rush in,
literally
a guy who could actually throw the ball downfield. They wanted to see if the ball could travel that far indoors.
That's what it is. It's 10 steps ahead, chestnut checkers.
That's all you got.
These are my new favorites about Cowboy Mondays. Starcasm from Ralph James Choppy here on DFW Sports Station, 877-881-1053. In order to hit us up, let's talk about what happened. We'll save some of the Odyssey app messages for 8 o'clock with more calls and texts. What else happened inside the NFC East?
Here goes Hurts going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed. I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's in!
Smitty.
He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
One hand! I don't know how he did it.
Shut up. God, I can't stand his nasally-ass voice. Get some nose spray. I have a lot of it with my Texas allergies. That's Eagles Radio with the call. Devontae Smith with the nail. Well, no, I guess N'Kobe Dean was the nail with the interception of freaking Trevor Lawrence. Nice throw, Bassick. What an awesome throw from the Wonder Kid as the Eagles get the W over Jacksonville. They were up 22-0. Devontae with a sick catch.
I don't know how he did it.
But, of course, all everyone is talking about, maybe the highlight of the year with the Saquon reverse hurdle, something we've never seen done, and that I'm sure Madden 2025 is figuring out.
I have never seen that.
No one has.
How do you even think of that in that moment? Oh, let me just hurdle you backwards.
Man.
What?
That's crazy.
When I watch it back, I genuinely think he like got caught between trying to decide if he was going to spin or jump, and then he got stuck. I think that's what he. I don't think he tried to do it. I think it was
instinct.
It doesn't matter if he tried to.
No, it's cool
fact that he could. He's a freak.
No, it's cool, and he's awesome. It was 200 yards from scrimmage or whatever it was yesterday. He's been a beast, and you know, hat tip Kellen Moore. Great job getting the most out of Saquon Barkley. You're doing great work out there, Kellen. Can't wait to see some of your concepts this weekend. It'll be the most modern offense to be called on AT&T Stadium's field in a while, but. It looked to me like he almost just his brain got scrambled for a second. He's like, I'm going to hurdle, then I'm going to spit, and then he got stuck.
This is the difference between us and athletes, is that athletes do that, and we're sitting here watching TikTok videos on can you jump without using your knees? And that's just the difference in us right now.
Wasn't there some viral thing about standing for 40 seconds on one leg?
People under 40 should be able to stand on one foot for 43 seconds. That's the test. Otherwise, you have like, I don't know, you're off balance. And then people from between 40 and 50 need to be able to do it for like 38 seconds.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's something we should do during the expressway one day.
Do you think that's like, has that been vetted at all? Or is that just something TikTok made up a time for it? Like when they've told us, today's the one day you can stick your broom straight up in the kitchen. And then you could do that every day, it turned out.
All right, so the Eagles get the win over Jacksonville. They got screwed, too, by that Walker return touchdown. He was down by contact, and they gave Jacksonville a free 6 points out of that. And now Philadelphia moves to 6-2. They are right now 6.5-point favorites at some different books heading into Arlington this weekend.
There was no business for Jacksonville to be anywhere close in this game. By the way, if they would have been able to steal this game, it would have been an all-time you have no business winning that game. Jacksonville was on the road. Philadelphia was 9 of 17 on third down. Jacksonville was 3 for 10. Jacksonville had 3 turnovers. Philly had 1. Philly doubled them up on yards. There's literally nothing in the stat sheet that explains how it was a 5-point game. There's not like, I guess that happened. Nothing. But they were fortunate to be down there, and the football gods just said, no, N'Kobe Dean's got to pick this off because this is just too absurd.
Meanwhile, could the rookie of the year keep it going?
Jaden loads one up towards the end zone, towards McLaurin. He catches it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Perfect throw from Daniels to McLaurin!
I think I heard some applause in the Commanders booth there on Commanders Radio. They were up 21-7 at the New York Giants, but history was finally broken as Daniel Jones threw a touchdown at the Meadowlands for the first time, and I believe the number is
like 3 years, isn't it?
672 days.
Oh boy.
The 672.
The note out there yesterday was that the Chiefs won two Super Bowls in between Daniel Jones' two touchdown passes at the Meadowlands.
Oh no.
That's pretty bad.
That's really, really bad.
Yeah, because he was on a run that was like from the end of 22 up through this game where he was no touchdowns, 10 picks, like, and somehow his passer rating was still in the 50s somehow. But I mean,
and it was a brotastic locker room afterwards, Bobby, when you sent us that. God. That hurt my heart with Dan Quinn. It's just, it was a love fest. It's a love fest right now in DC, so much so that Adam Schefter reported yesterday before kickoffs that everyone wants to go play for the Commanders now. It is now a total complete culture change. Players want to be dealt to Washington. That was Schefter.
It's when I hear that clip of the Washington announcers, like, I genuinely, not even a joke here.
Bram Weinstein.
I think they genuinely are just like, they don't know how to react to like football being good. They're just, they're so they're not used to controlling their emotions. And so they're
Bram's ignoring. Also a lifetime, not insulting him, but he's always done updates. And then once Larry David, Snyder's boy, got caught in some scandal, they were like, we need a play-by-play guy. So they didn't just go find like a regular play-by-play guy. I think they plugged him in. Anyway.
So you're saying it's like if...
As you turn back towards Peyton and on the fan cam, he's like here. A monkey.
He's just scratching
his head with two...
He's going to kill off Brad Sham.
That could not have been better timing in my entire life. As Bobby turns back to Peyton to say he could be the next play-by-play voice for a professional team. And he's over it with both hands.
Was I on the fan cam then?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, that was priceless.
We need to run through.
That
like,
was priceless.
We need to run through some of the Cowboys' touchdowns this year and have Peyton do play-by-play calls for him, compare him, see how he does compared to Sham. This was not a particularly impressive victory for Washington.
Yeah,
either.
They're going a little too nuts over a win over the Giants. Now, it wasn't a 5-point win. It was on the scoreboard, but it was a late touchdown they got. They went for two. They missed, thank God, because they would have covered.
Yeah, I mean,
the Giants would have covered the spread. They didn't.
It's wild to see Washington go from the team of, it doesn't matter what they have. They could have everybody in place, and it's going to go sideways, and it's going to go awful. It's like, no, they have genuine problems in their secondary right now. It didn't matter that Brian Robinson was out. They went, oh, no, plug and play. Next man up. We've got it. Our system will be fine. We're going to be able to move forward. They have become a team that weathers the storm and gets through it, and this team's going to be hell for the next 4 years. While Dan Quinn's got this core together and Adam Peters is doing what he's doing, and depending on how long they can keep Cliff Kingsbury, Washington's going to be really good now for the next few years.
Well, they've got the formula, which is a cheap quarterback. You know, the moment they pay him, I mean, all bets are off. You don't know how everything works, but they've got a free quarterback, and that's like the biggest cheat code in the sport.
Marshawn Lattimore and other corners are being connected to Washington for the trade deadline tomorrow. Jerry Jones tomorrow at 8:30. More on that at 8 o'clock here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, every single week at this time, we recap your weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
What was the best part? What was the worst part? Let us know all the antics that you got into at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. As we fell back, and it was a reminder to me and all parents of young children yesterday that falling back sucks. It was not fun because it's just another extra hour with the little ones all day long. So, Bobby, I hope you with your grown kids enjoyed your extra sleep and everyone got their extra sleep and all that. I mean, everyone was messaging me that it definitely did not affect their pets, that the pets were up even earlier, did not affect them. But man, having the 4-year-old and the 4-month-old, basically not fun with the fall back.
You didn't feel it this morning at all? Like you didn't feel like you got extra
sleep? Oh, I did this
morning.
I did.
Yeah. So
it was great this morning.
So that's the thing. I think you take the trade-offs. Obviously, yeah, the kids are going to be up earlier. All these different things are going to happen. But it's crucial for, like, I'm not going to oversleep and be late for work for a good 6 months or however long it is. And then I'll be good to go. But it's I never adjust. Whenever we go to spring forward, I spend that entire time feeling exhausted
the whole six months. Yeah.
I do.
You've already the effects of the hour are already gone.
I don't.
They're already gone.
You're not a doctor. You don't know that.
Not, well, you're not either.
I know, exactly. I'm not making a claim.
I mean, yeah, it's just whatever. You fall back, you spring forward, it gets dark late, it gets dark early, you know, or it gets light early. I think the effects are already gone. I didn't notice anything this morning. I noticed it yesterday. Oh, baby, did I notice it yesterday. Because I got an extra hour of sleep. Now, you know, my kids are grown, and they sleep till noon anyway. Yeah. I didn't notice yesterday.
So that was the fall back. Now, speaking of sleeping and having your clocks off, Caitlin, do you have the photo?
Oh, I didn't send it to her. Okay. That's my bad. Okay. I'll just hold up my arm.
Bobby, talk to us about worst of the weekend.
Yeah, so it was all bad pretty much this weekend. Friday was all right. We got to go to Billy Bob's. We saw Tracy Lawrence, which was great time. Great song. He can't sing anymore. His voice is shot. Yeah, it's done. It's over. But I was like, you know what? I it's been a long day. I'm going to take a little nap before we get going. So when I woke up and I saw it was 6:30, I, in my half asleep state, thought it's 6:30 in the morning on Friday. And I got up and I started smashing things in my way out of anger, thinking I was late. And my arm got cut up and bruised a little bit. So there's like a little bruise down the side of my forearm. And I got these little cuts here on my forearm. And so it was basically just running through. And then I realized, why is Jacob here? Because Jacob was there to watch the girls. And he was like, he jumped in front of me. Because they've all seen this happen before where I wake up and think I'm late. And so he jumped in front and he was like, hey, it's nighttime. It's nighttime. It's nighttime. And then for a second there, I thought, oh, I slept all the way through to nighttime. This is even worse. And then it gathered and I was like, oh, okay, nope. All right, I'm good now. But my arm did sting the rest of the evening. And then Saturday morning before leaving for Hotlanta, it's just a little nickname I like to give the city.
Yeah, very original.
I call him that. I started throwing up and also had a little bit of a temperature. So low-grade fever, throwing up, and slept a ton on Saturday. Didn't end up making the charter. Had to tell the Cowboys, like, I'm not going to be able to go there. And so ended up sleeping most of the day Saturday and then into Sunday morning and was starting to think like I wasn't even going to be able to be here today, yesterday morning. Mm. But then bounced back, recovered, glad I didn't get hung up on the charter site heading back apparently by a certain political plane apparently. Held everybody up a little bit is what I heard. Yep, I heard old Kamala out there campaigning, kind of held things up a little bit.
Oh,
at the charter site, but
I was wasting our money in Georgia. Okay, we're gonna win Georgia very easily.
I want to focus on the photo though, because I was
I didn't see it. Maybe I did.
You were on there.
Was it in the group chat?
Yep.
And I get half of your messages.
You didn't see the Bobby wrist photo?
I don't think so.
What planet do you live on? I know it's your planet, but
yeah, I live on whatever planet I'm on.
I was really disturbed by the picture.
You had a good joke.
So much to the point to where I'm like, we might have to have a one-on-one after the show. We might have to have a talk. That's really. Yeah. I'm worried about chemicals.
Well, welcome to my entire life. You have not heard these stories. I guess I thought I've told you these before. I've done this going back to when I was like 12 years old.
What did you break? What did you smash? How did you do it?
No, I was smashing things. I didn't break it. So we've got a
this cuts in like four different places too.
Yeah. So what happens?
They're like fresh, deep. It's like Heath Ledger.
What happened is
the Joker.
Those little doors. Like, you know, when you've got it in an apartment, you've got the washer and dryer, and they're behind these little fold out doors. Essentially, you can kind of I don't know what they're called, but they're on those tracks. And they kind of bow out. You slide them on those tracks and open it up. One of them was out when I got out of the room, and I, out of anger, smacked my hand on it or smacked my arm on it, and it was on the edge of the corner of it, and it just cut everything right there.
What do you see in this? Look at these cuts, dude.
Yeah.
That's serious.
Yeah, I don't have... Yeah,
it's not that bad.
Why are you breaking things? Like, why are you smashing
things?
It's on
the fan camera right now.
I mean, there's... Caitlin did get it. I don't know. I thought it was 6:30 in the morning. Like, clearly,
we know.
So what I'm saying is,
we've all been there.
What
we've
I'm
all
saying is,
up from a nap
I slept
was...
for 30 minutes and got up and thought it was Friday morning. So clearly, I wasn't thinking anything clearly, and so my actions I can't speak for.
We should get you an iPhone so I get these photos.
This is what happens. This is what happens when I don't have any governor on my rage or my anger. When I wake up and I just think so, and I don't have any control over it. And so that's what happened. It took me 30 seconds. Then I was fine.
Chop, you went into troll mode?
Troll mode over the weekend.
Were your daughters there? Like, were they disturbed? Like, you think about your kids, like, watching you act like that?
They were in the other room. And no, I thought it was, again, in the morning, so I didn't know anything. But they were in the other room. And when I asked them about it later, they're like, oh, yeah, you did it again. Which they've seen it before. They're just like, yeah, you wake up and think you've overslept and lose your mind. Cool. So that's what happened.
I am officially in troll mode. Every weekend night, I'm going to go outside in the back patio and turn the music up to a loud but not unreasonable level.
Okay.
Okay. Loud enough. Loud enough so all the neighbors around can hear it, but they probably won't be woken up by it. And I'll have a louder than necessary conversation because the neighbor to my catty corner behind me is the one that yelled at me the other day, a couple weeks ago. And now, and I do believe he's the one that left an anonymous note on somebody else's door, like he's Martin Luther in 1588 or whatever. So I'm in complete troll mode. And because he said he's going to call the cops on me next time. And I welcome that because I'm doing nothing wrong. And there is no noise ordinance, so the cops aren't going to do anything.
There's no noise ordinance? Every neighborhood has a noise ordinance.
We have not. We don't have a set rule that says after this hour.
You do not?
No.
In your list of HOA?
I have never
seen one. You've gone through it.
We've gone through it, haven't found one.
Wow.
We even asked.
I'm stunned.
There's nothing.
There's got to be a city ordinance.
Well.
There's got to be a Roanoke rule.
And it might be, I would assume it's when all the bars close.
You would assume.
That's what I would assume, right? I mean, They have a music bar in town. Well, they
have a music bar.
It closed this weekend, but whatever.
It's like shut down.
Yes, they shut it down.
I've seen this episode of Dateline before. Like the backstory of just like, yeah, it was just like, you know, some general neighborhood beef, but we didn't think it would escalate. And then It was, oh, he started talking louder.
Can someone in the city of Roanoke, Texas, text in the noise ordinance of what it is supposed to be? But anyway, you're turning it up.
I'm turning it up. Now, I'm not again, not loud, not super loud, but loud enough for my neighbor to be able to hear. And I'm going to go back to the drawing board here next weekend. I'll have the kids, and I'll tell them, hey, guys, invite some friends over. We're going to have a late night party.
I hope this neighbor shows up to the final Firehouse tour. It's in Roanoke. And maybe he will show up and sit down. The guest of honor will bump McCarthy for him. Or Mike may not be here.
He's a big Jerry Cowboy fan. He's a big us. Cowboy
How
fan.
How do you know flags?
He has another flag.
Right next to the
American
flag. Right next to the red, white, and blue.
Yes. I went and peeped to social media. So he's a big Cowboy fan.
Okay.
Very angry. Very angry with this team.
Happy birthday. I attended Mike Fisher's 65th birthday party.
Gentlemen.
His son, Tony, very, very disappointed in your absence. Very. That's all I had to hear about from Tony. Where's Choppy? He's the only one. We got 68 people here. There's only two people missing. Could he not get in the gate? Is he stuck at the gate? What the heck is going on? But Will Chambers, myself. Oh, Marsha. What an amazing job she did at this palatial estate. I pulled up to the gate and I said, this freak, this weasel. How did he get in here? How did Mike Fisher work his way into this? But it was a lovely, lovely party. Fantastic. So happy 65 to Mikey Fish. And that was best and worst of the week. I took Peyton's dinner advice, Italian restaurant in Rowlett.
Yes.
Went out there on Friday. Very good recommendation. Pepe. Oliver loved his little bracelets or slap wrist slinky, whatever the hell those things are. What are they called?
Silly bands.
Silly bands.
Silly
he absolutely
bands.
Loved them. So Pepe, moving up the...
Pepe.
All right, there it is. Let me hear it one more time. There it is. So
you're welcome, Ollie.
Peyton making all the kids happy, especially with his new Christmas decorations, which we'll get to a little bit later on. That's best and worst of the weekend. Did the Cowboys just get their excuse to sell tomorrow? Next on the Home of the Boys, 105.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.